And why are you saying, and other people, now you've never been one to come on the air, and I've known you a long time, 25 years, to say, okay, well, gold's going to go up like you hear on the radio all the time. Right. It's time to invest now because, you know, I hear it all the time on KLBJ radio when I listen in the car. They're selling basically bullion coins, right?
That's right.
You know, they're selling, what are they do selling? They're selling, I guess...
readily available common coins.
From the mint.
From the mint.
From the mint, right. So, why do you think that gold is going to move?
Monetarily, I think gold has to move.
Just because of the amount of money, dollars out there?
Yeah, and the amount of dollars necessary to continue the game. So there's no way that the Federal Reserve, granted they tell us they're going to unwind their balance sheet and sell off the $4 trillion
in debt.
They can't. If they do, at the same time that the federal government is running a deficit and corporations all over are trying to borrow money, it's just not going to happen. So what does that mean? It means more, believe this or not, quantitative easing. That's what it points to, the simple
They're
going to
actually create more money.
Yes, right? In maybe another form. Maybe it's going to be in the form of cash, or maybe it's going to be in the form of loan guarantees, or maybe it's going to be in the form of them buying in debt. Whatever it's going to be, one thing is sure. We have three times as much debt as there is money to pay, and the situation is getting more acute by the day. So much so that the Fed will have to raise rates this meeting. They'll have to raise rates next meeting. They'll have to raise them four more times in 2019. So by the time we get to the end of 2019, inflation will be so well recognized that folks will be making investments based on a high rate of inflation. We've gone through a period of relatively low inflation. And
for how long, I guess?
Yeah, goodness, decade or more.
15, 20 years.
Yeah. And so to me, you know, I'm not one of those, oh, you should rush in and, you know, sell the farm and buy gold. That's not a sound investment strategy. For years, I've counseled folks, just average in. Put a few in every year or every month or every quarter or what.
So we've talked a great deal about the 70s, and gold was...
103.
$100.
Yeah.
And it went to 800, which is a huge, I mean, if you think about the percentage increase, right?
Sure, yeah.
And interest rates at that same time were going up.
Yeah.
And they ended up about, 15% by the time gold topped at 850, correct?
That's correct.
15%. Think about that. Going to mortgage, buy a mortgage, buy a home at 15% interest.
And people were doing it because they know that next year it's going to cost even more. So
that's all a day when prices are rising, correct?
Yeah. Now, the general idea, and I think a lot of people can espouse this, you don't need me or anybody like me to tell you that, is interest rates are rising, gold and silver rise. And interest rates fall, gold and silver falls.
It's just the math, right?
The correlation,
yeah. It's just the math.
Yeah.
So we know interest rates are going to rise. I mean, the Fed are telling us that.
Right. They're signaling.
They're signaling. They're just saying.
Well, they don't want the market to freak out. You know, it's like that's why I think they're going to announce today, maybe tomorrow, that they're going to have a press conference after every meeting and explain the actions that they're taking. What does that tell you? Well, it tells you that for the last 15 years, there's so much inaction that they cut the meetings. Okay, we'll just have a press conference every other meeting because things are pretty much on autopilot. We don't have to explain ourselves. Now they're saying, well, we're going to have a press conference after every meeting. So when we raise rates and we can explain it to the people why we did it, and that will calm the marketplace. We don't want to have a meeting where we have to raise rates and no press conference to announce it. And further, if we just stick in a press conference without any regularly scheduled programming, then people are going to get suspicious. Why are they having a press conference now? There's not one scheduled. So this way, they'll be ready to tell us after every meeting, which is when they're going to raise interest rates, folks. After every meeting.
So I'm sure our listeners are saying one thing to themselves right now. Here's one thing they're saying.
All right, explain this to me like I'm a two-year-old, okay? Because there's an element to this thing I just cannot get through my thick head.
And I'm with them right there because why do they have to raise rates. I mean, why not just leave it like it is?
Because speculation will run rampant.
Okay, you got to explain this like we're two-year-old, because okay. I don't understand that.
If we leave rates alone and, right. and money is easy to get, then people will get more of it. So the biggest area of speculation right now is in that stock market. And the traders are using margin debt, where they borrow 90 cents, put up a dime, and buy a share of stock.
Good for them.
So if the Fed is trying to say to them, look, if you're counting on money being this cheap, because it is a commodity after all.
Yeah.
If you're counting on it being this cheap in order to do your stock buybacks and your speculation, your leverage, we're giving you the heads up that we're going to raise the cost of borrowing that capital to speculate on those stocks. So,
well, what do they care? Let them buy stocks. The market goes up. Everybody's happy.
Yeah, not everybody. Inflation then will rage.
So
remember
yeah.
that.
Okay. Yeah.
So remember that's
the balancing act. Right?
Yes, yeah. That's their fine line that they're walking. And so they have to try to curb speculation. Mm. They do that by raising the cost of money.
Mm.
So people are less likely to borrow money for something frivolous like speculating.
Yeah. So that was going on in the 70s when Jimmy Carter was in the White House. He had his little
then
sweater
it was real
on,
estate.
And,
yeah.
and his little button, remember, the WIN, whip inflation now. And gold was going up and interest rates were going up. And that what was going on? The same thing.
Same exact thing. It's a self-feeding cycle. And once it starts, it's the same when it's on the way down now. As interest rates are falling, it becomes more and more of a no-brainer. I'm going to borrow money. I'm going to buy this bond. And then as interest rates fall, the face value of the bond, well, the premium on the face value actually rises. So I bought that $100,000 bond. Interest rates went down 10%. Now that bond's worth $110,000.
It really gets ugly, right?
Yeah, well, and on that side, I mean, for 15 years, it's been pretty for those who were speculating in that market, who knew what we were doing, who had the little insight, little market insight. They would buy treasury bonds just as fast as they could get them.
Yeah.
And now, of course, the situation reverses. Every time rates go up 10%, the face value of the bond, the premium above the face, goes down 10%. So now everybody's going to be rushing to the doors to sell their treasury bonds and corporate bonds and municipal bonds and every form of debt instrument in the world, which we've created an enormous amount, I think $94 trillion in sovereign dollar denominated debt.
Back to the 70s, if you have $100 and then gold goes 850, if you divide 100 by 850, you have a 0.11, it's minus 1. You had an 88% increase in the price of gold, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Was that pretty good?
I
like math. So if we're at
1380%.
Yeah, if we're at 1300, it's 88%. Is that correct?
No. 88% would
Well, wait a minute. If you have
less than double.
If you have 100 divided by the number
and it goes to 188,
that's
0.11%.
Yeah, that's 88%.
Yeah. If it goes from 100 to 188. That's 88%.
No.
Oh, come on.
Okay, so what am I going wrong with the math here?
800%. That's what you need to do. That's a $100 thing that became $800, went up 800%. I mean,
is that right?
Yeah, math notwithstanding.
Okay.
So we're at $1,300 now.
So I'm going to go plus 800%. I got it right here.
Yeah.
Geez. No.
$10,400.
$11,700.
Now you see where those $10,000 gold predictions are.
Is that possible?
Are.
No.
Is it possible? Sure. Is it likely? No. I think you could easily see $5,000 gold. But
so in the 70s, it went 800%?
800%, yeah. From 103 to 850.
Jowl.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was over 10 years, right?
Well, 77, it was 103. By 80, it was 850.
Oh, no.
So they did that 10-year period in a 3-year period.
No, no.
And then, of course, we had a period of stagnation after that. So they finally broke the back of inflation with, I think 15, 16, 17% interest.
Hmm.
I think you'll see high double-digit interest rates again in the very near future. Honestly, I mean, the cycle is like a little behind where I thought we'd be right now. I, I honestly thought we'd be, you know, middle of the rage by now.
Well, the dollar, though, has been really...
Well, we've had that flight to quality, yeah. Yes.
So this people keep buying the dollar.
Yeah, this is the wild card that really I should have factored in the equation and didn't. And it is that the rest of the world was so put off by their own currency that they...
Because everybody's currency sucks.
Right. they bought dollars. And said, oh, goodness, well, you know, the euro, the Italians are going to leave, the British left, so we're going to run to quality. And what's quality in this global market? Believe it or not, it's the dollar,
yeah,
dollar
yeah.
strength. So we've had that benefit that we normally wouldn't have. Sort of like the central bank's position, where it creates money that people store, acting as an interest-free loan. I mean, they'll redeem it when they spend it.
Yeah.
Just as the foreigners who've invested in the U.S. market will certainly take the money out at some point. And when they do, the reverse will happen. The dollar will exhibit enormous weakness, which, coupled with a normal rise in interest rates, will just be a double whammy. So this is where all the, again, $5,000 to $10,000 gold predictions are coming from. But I will say it again. Do not speculate. Just average your way in. If you're finally convinced that what I'm saying has some merit and you want to dabble, then do it on a regular basis.
Dabble?
Yeah, don't just rush in and say, oh, you know, Joe said this is the bottom and I should sell everything and buy gold now. That's not a proper way to invest.
Well, a little story I'm going to tell my grandkids is that in 1977... I was working with WWL Radio in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
I was interviewing Harry Brown about his book, How to Be Free in an Unfree
World.
Great book, classic book. During the commercial, Harry says, you know, gold's about 150 or so. Patrick, you really should buy some gold because in a few years it's going to be a lot higher.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, this is my big short story. Mm-hmm. I didn't listen to that, but I should have listened to Harry.
What did Harry know?
What did Harry know? Harry, you don't know nothing.
That's Brown with an E.
How did Harry know that? How did he know that?
Because
of course, you would have said the same thing if I would have interviewed you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Harry knew. Of course, I was brain dead.
My first book didn't occur for quite a few years later.
Harry's great, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. How to Be Free in an Unfree World.
Yeah. What
a classic, man. It's a classic book.
Yeah, but he was, you know, libertarian to the core.
Yeah.
Harry was, in fact, he was a libertarian presidential candidate. He
certainly was.
It was my first vote for president.
You know, you're talking about QE. Is this possible? Now, these numbers can't be right.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on a second. Let me get to pull this up here.
Are you on that H41 release again?
No, okay. I'm doing China now.
China?
Oh, China. Oh. Okay, so here we are. Hold on.
They've been adding money.
Whoa. Now, is this right? Okay, here's what this says. In comparison for those of Western economies, China's countermeasures against the crisis of 2008 were significantly more drastic.
Absolutely.
Well, in the U.S., the balance sheet total of the banking system increased by USD 4,000 billion, which is $4 trillion, right?
Yep.
Okay, that's so far so good. In the years after that, the global financial crisis, the balance sheet of Chinese banking system expanded by 20,000 billion U.S. dollars.
Correct.
That's 20 trillion.
Yeah.
That's not possible.
It is possible.
No.
Yes.
We did 4 trillion and these dudes did 20 trillion?
Yeah.
Out of thin air? Now, I mean, they're talking dollars, not yuan.
They're all pretty much near the ground, so it's not that thin.
Wow, man.
Well, they didn't add dollars.
Well, no, but I mean, they
added yuan.
They added yuan to... the value of 20 trillion, according to this article.
Correct, but
nobody
sought to convert it into dollars because that was what was necessary just to shore up all these companies that had gone so deeply in debt.
But that's a bunch of yuan, dude.
That is. It's a bunch of value.
So this is why China's kind of just not having a good day, because this is all coming home to roost now?
Exactly.
Yeah.
As it will for us.
Wow.
You can't do it and not expect the ramifications of additional money.
What is it? Because the GDP, I mean, the number is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, 600% of GDP.
Yeah.
600%. That would be How would
About 6 trillion for us.
It'd be 6 trillion for us.
Well, 600%. No, yeah. Actually, what would it be? 14,
I don't know.
14 trillion GDP times 6. China owns their central bank, so they can do a lot more than we can do. That's for sure.
So they just created all this yuan to do stuff to keep people working.
That was it.
Essentially.
Yeah, like putting their
fingers... I mean, when you have 1.5 billion people.
Right. True, yeah. Yeah, right? They got a lot of people.
A lot of folks.
They got a lot of people. Yeah. So their monetary needs are going to be much greater than ours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, what they do here is they just put GMO food and that just lowers the birth. I'm just kidding. Just don't get me started.
So how about that? Those lampshades, huh?
Oh, yeah. See, I thought you wouldn't bring them up.
I can't help it.
Yeah, lampshades are not having a good day.
And what took them down?
I don't know.
Hacking.
What he's talking about is this thing called Bitcoin, the top cryptocurrency in the world. Mm-hmm. Now it's $6,000, which...
Yeesh.
When was it, 20?
Yeah, well, 20,
December?
And then it stabilized at 8.
At 8.
Everybody was,
how come it hit 6 today or last week? What's going on with lampshades?
Somebody hacked them.
No.
Yeah.
They get hacked?
They got hacked.
Who got hacked? The
Korean Exchange.
Oh, the South Korean Exchange.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think they, 46 or $47 billion was stolen. 42, I think it may be the real number, 42. So it's like the money is not real. It's a bunch of digits on a computer.
But the dollar is not real either, too, Andrew Goss.
A gold coin is real. A silver coin is real
but
in your possession. And it's nobody's going to hack in the middle of the night and reduce the value of your silver or gold coin.
Right.
But they hacked in to the South Korean exchange and literally stole... I don't know.
Oh, you mean, so you're just alluding to your real money bit lampshade comparison. Well, I mean, it's not even a fair fight.
It isn't.
It's not a fair fight.
But people have taken solace in the security of these things.
Yeah.
And I've been just constantly beating that drum that they are not secure. You'd think they're secure, but they're not. And so folks that had money invested saw this hack and said, you know what? Andy's right. I'm selling. And well, maybe they didn't say Andy's right, but they did sell. And the route, all sellers, no buyers, that drove the price down. Now, will it recover? I don't know. How crazy will people get? They'll put their money into something that's just a series of digits. Crypto, my hiney. It's synthetic. That's what it
crypto,
is.
From the motion picture, Crypto, my hiney.
Yeah.
Or CryptoMyHiney.com. Well, you think they're having a fun time in Europe. So people are bailing out of Italian banks like crazy.
Yeah.
Spanish banks, boom, we're gone.
It's going to happen.
Portugal
quick.
Banks, we're out of here. What's the other one? And they're all going to Germany,
Poland.
Germany and the Netherlands, especially Germany.
Yeah, flight to quality.
Flight to quality. So they're all, but there's no real security of putting your money in a German bank, is there anymore?
No. Yeah. Cleanest dirty shirt in the laundry. So, for Europe, it has the same standing as the dollar does. Sure, they're in bad shape too, but they're better shape than the ones you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So folks are really worried about Italy and the Italian banks. And, we've talked about that in the past. It's not new, folks. It's just that the news kind of glosses over and we feel secure and we move on. But the problems are amplifying by the day.
Yeah.
And the more people leave, the more the money has to be replaced from somewhere, the more that expands the bigger pool. So it is a one big expansionary economy. When you combine it all into one global economy, everyone is adding money.
Yeah.
Everyone.
And so that's the reason we even mention things like Brazil, Venezuela. And they're just like... I mean, it's just like Mad Max in both of these countries, right?
Yeah.
Tell folks what's going on.
Well, essentially, inflation is raging.
Yeah.
I mean, we think, 10% is a lot, but they're...
It's like thousands of percent.
Right. Yeah. 100%, 150%. So as folks change their way of thinking about saving money, they realize, we talked about in the early days of the show, how the Russian economy was in inflationary mode. And the Russian worker would get his paycheck on Friday, and he'd walk out of his factory, cash his check, and then he'd walk towards home. And the very first store that he saw with a line in it, he got into that line.
Because he knew they had something, right?
They had something, and whatever they were selling,
he didn't care,
is going to be worth more the next day than holding his money. So, you know, in South America, people were buying building materials and storing them in the yard. It was a period in which having a thing instead of money was the desired position.
Isn't that very crazy?
And now we've turned that on its head, and having the money instead of the thing has become the desired position. And the idea was, right, the strengthening dollar in our case.
Mm-hmm.
And so people just put all their excess money into bonds. Interest rates are falling. Bonds are rising. Now you turn that attitude on its head, and boy, it happens so fast. I mean, the trigger points, I don't know
Didn't
what it's going
to... Really? I mean, look at Venezuela, Brazil, Italy.
Yeah.
Venezuela might have to declare force majeure on its oil exports. What does that mean?
That means it's out of their control. It's so, in the hands of God.
I mean,
it's an act
they have
God.
One of the most prolific oil resources in the world.
Yeah.
How could they not have any money? I mean, what are they doing?
The IMF, that's how they could not have any money.
The boys got in there, right?
Yeah, they've pledged their oil reserves long before now.
Just to get dollars.
Right. And so now they're going to say, well, you know, we can't honor that contract because of this act of God, force majeure.
Force, is that what that means? Force
yeah, that's majeure? What it means. Yeah, it's kind of like it's a force beyond us. Nothing we can do about it. So, yeah, we know we signed a contract with you that says we're going to give you all the oil that we have to produce at a fixed price for which you may have prepaid. But now we can't honor that contract because, well, our country's in a state of turmoil, the likes of which have never ever been seen in Argentina.
Yeah, boy, if you think you're having a hard day paying $5 for coffee at Starbucks, people in Venezuela and Brazil and places like this, they don't even have stuff to buy.
Right.
And when they do, it's like, you know, $40 for toilet paper or something.
And then tomorrow it's $80 it's for
crazy.
Toilet
paper. Crazy.
So I'll take all the toilet paper you have. Here's all my money. Give me toilet paper. That's what happens in an inflationary economy. We haven't seen one for so long that people forgot how to behave. When you see this sort of hoarding, empty supermarket shelves, people buying in advance of their needs, people buying things they don't even need just because they know that it'll hold its value better than their paper money, it's, boy, like a snowball going downhill. So you don't want to get caught up in the middle of that. I don't care if it's, you don't like my idea of gold and silver American lawful money coins. Buy art, buy antiques, buy jewelry, buy anything, but don't just hold money because as it loses its value, it might look the same. You know, the dollar still looks like a dollar, but now it's only worth 88 cents, and tomorrow it's 84 cents, and the next day it's 82 cents. And that sort of loss of value over time will really affect your net worth. So
I think Mr. Buffett is holding more cash than just anybody in the world, right? He's got billions just hanging out.
Yeah.
Just hanging on. Do you hear that story about the gypsum board thing? Isn't that interesting?
It is interesting.
Yeah, he bought 38% of this company called USG.
United States Gypsum.
Gypsum. Yep. And somebody wanted to buy him for $7 billion valuation rather than one. And he sold, and he generally doesn't sell.
Well, yeah. He sells when he sees the writing on the
you
wall.
You think? $2 billion in 10 years? Not bad. Yeah, a little one deal.
Yep.
He's a smart guy. Somehow.
Oh, he is, yeah. Nobody's ever accused him of being dense. He definitely got a handle on things the way they work.
Mm-hmm. So,
and he's a value investor, which is what we should be. So you look at the fundamentals. That's what he looks at. And it's the same thing I look at. So when I recommend a particular coin or type of coin, I look at the mintage.
The fundamentals.
Fundamentals, right. How many they're surviving. You said you had you got an email this morning about commemoratives. You want to talk about that one?
Oh, I do. No,
why don't you?
Let me go there,
because
it was kind of a feisty email.
Oh, I like them.
And I actually asked you if I should read that, because I didn't know if the guy was just being goofy.
Mean.
Mean and goofy. And he said, no, it's okay.
Yeah, read them all. We don't censor.
We don't censor. Okay.
So, give us your opinion, whatever that might be.
All right. So where is this one? I had it this morning. What was it? Where was.
I can almost remember. It is like, why does Andy keep recommending Commems?
Oh, here it is. Here it is.
Yeah? Okay.
Here it is. Okay, this is from Don. Mm-hmm. Silver Commems were dead for the last 30 years.
Yeah.
And the price keeps going down.
Yeah.
Why does Andy keep advertising these coins? Sounds like a used car sales guy.
Thanks. Thanks, Don. Yes, I recommend these things because the fundamentals are strong. They're undervalued. Yes, they've underappreciated coins.
But they're dead. See, they're just dead.
Yeah.
They're dead.
Yeah. I'm going to bring them back to life.
Okay.
Because here's a series of 50 half dollars, largely ignored, very low mintages, and have not accelerated in value the way that other low mintage, well-known coins have. So, hey, why do I recommend them? Especially in light of the fact that I can't get them, I have so many people working on these things, and I'm trying to buy them without raising a ruckus. I mean, literally, I could raise the bid of every single commemorative coin tomorrow, and I would not get any more coins. So, why has the price remained the same? Because I have not revealed my true position. And others like me who appreciate these coins have not as well. So, yes, they've been soft, very soft for the last 30 years. What does that make them? A buying opportunity. Would you rather I recommend coins that have gone straight up for 30 years? That would make no sense to me. You want to try to find value where value exists and others simply haven't recognized. When you have 144 different coins and 70 of them have mintages of less than 10,000, that's value. So don't fall for the 1995 Silver Eagle that has been driven up in price to $12,000. It's a 1 ounce silver coin, but it was made in only hundreds of thousands. That's what investors are exposed to, and that's what they know about. Do they know about the Hawaiian half dollar struck in 1928? No. Do they know about the Lexington Concord half dollar struck to commemorate the first gun seizure in America? No, they don't, because nobody promotes them. So I'm going to keep recommending them. And Don, I suggest you get on board. If you don't have any, get them yourself, because I'm here to tell you today that I'm short every single issue. Even the most common of them, like the 1892 and 93 Colombian. Try to find a nice high-end gem example that isn't toned or tarnished or ugly or poor strike. You can't. They just don't exist. And the population reports that NGC is putting out are revealing this. So if you go and look at how many exist, very few. A lot fewer than people thought. So again, out of the 144 different dates and mint marks, 70 have mintages of less than 10,000. These are legal tender half dollars struck to commemorate various events in American history. And if you don't have any, well, you're going to miss out. I urge you to get started if you don't. And if you don't agree with me, well, there are plenty of generic coins that you can buy and just tie yourself to the price of gold. Or silver.
Michael writes in, I just can't let this torture thing go. And please, I'm not being obtuse or disrespectful.
That's all right, Michael.
Okay, Michael says, Andy's answer is basically torture in war. All is fair. I missed the part where America has declared war on which country. The act of terrorism that is 9/11 that could be used as justification has never been investigated to an indisputable conclusion.
That's right.
Private citizen investigations have raised so many unanswered questions, which the government has ignored, proves that 9/11 truth is not at the root of USA actions. So who's benefiting from this war? The oil industry? No. They have proven over time that they will warm themselves into any country, right? The security, intelligence, military complex, yes. The Israelis, yes. No need to look at their house when all the neighbors' houses are on fire. Who loses? The American reputation for fairness, integrity, justice, honesty is being flushed away. And this is my real question. For what benefit? And is it worth it to the American people?
Good argument. I've heard it before. Yeah. And certainly as a father who raised four daughters, You can imagine there were times when I had to remove my own velvet glove from the iron fist. And did I have any lines on what I wouldn't do? No. Would I take their phone? Yes. Would I shut off their TV? Yes. Would I lock them in their room? Hell yes. So, and my liberal parent friends would say, oh, you can't do that. Well, I can, and I will. And there are no lines that I wouldn't cross when it came to safeguarding my daughters. Mm. And so perhaps they didn't appreciate it at the time, but they certainly appreciate it today. Now, it's hard to compare that to torture, but I think the point is that if my children thought, well, Dad never can take my cell phone, that's my basic right, so I'm going to go up in my room and watch my TV and take this punishment because it's not really punishment at all, that doesn't give me any strength. But knowing that I'm capable of doing anything was a deterrent. And I believe the same would be true if we weren't handcuffed by those wonderful qualities that the writer talks about, you know, fairness and integrity and so forth. So that's where I get my position from, that maybe not just in war, although in war, certainly all bets are off.
And he's talking about debt to money, he goes on, like a household that will not control expenses. America has been running up debt.
Mm.
Now the Fed has pulled the credit card, perhaps they appreciate your debt-to-money ratio.
Yes.
Is it only a matter of time before another credit card holders notice and pull away also? When that happens and the treasuries go down in value, will the Fed be one to step in and just buy because they're the only ones who are trying to get out now?
The lender of last resort. Mm. Yeah.
Doing what they're doing now will just be more company asset purchases and just draw up stock prices even higher, ?
Yes. What? Is that possible?
Mm-hmm.
Sure it is.
Almost 0% returns. So in my mind, the only leaves commodities as a market big enough to take all the money needed to reduce the debt to money ratio.
That's right.
Right? So how do they create conditions needed to drive up commodity inflation, give money to people? How do they increase money velocity, create shortage of goods by, say, a trade war to drive up the price? What are the road signs to watch for? Does a market have to collapse to set the conditions for another bubble?
Yeah, I've said many times, and I'll say it again, that the problem this time will start in the bond market. In the the bond market. So that's the signs to look for. The idea that, you know, this bond is no longer redeemable or is frozen or cannot be paid or is defaulted upon, that sort of leads to a domino effect. We've had a tendency over the last two decades to homogenize debt. So the bond of this company or this country is the same value as the bond of that its neighbor. And that is not the case. So when you start to see discernment, as you're seeing now, well, okay, I'll buy a bond, but it won't be an Italian bond. It won't be a Spanish bond. It won't be a Venezuelan bond. You know, but I'll still buy the bonds of the safe countries. Well, then that's when you know the safe countries are in trouble. So the signs are already there, folks. If you miss them, just pay attention. Watch the bond market. Fed is responding by raising interest rates. Other central banks will follow, even though it's counterintuitive. Mario Draghi came out and said he's going to add more money. So they're still on the other end of the pendulum. The cooperation and the whipsaw between the two, I believe, is going to set some people up for a massive devaluation in their wealth. So pay attention and do not take the sort of risks that you're encouraged to take. Money in the bank used to mean, wow, that's a risky proposition. Now money in the bank means, oh, that's safe as it can be, but it isn't. So the bail-in legislation is already in place. The ability of the banks to say, of the central banks to say, we're just going to take the depositors' money and use that to pay the liabilities of the bank. That was written into law in the last decade. And I would suspect not one American in 10 is aware of the fact that they can be paid less than what they have in the bank in the event of a crisis. Everyone is used to that FDIC insurance. A fire insurance only works when one house is on fire. When every house is on fire, they just can't pay.
Hmm. I always liked those banks that it was FSLIC.
Yeah, savings because, and loans.
No, Frank Sinatra lives in Southern California. No, that's why I went to that.
Frank Sinatra lives in California. Okay, that's good.
LIC in California. Stu writes in, government-defined and legalized companies, P.S. Norway nominated Trump for Peace Prize. What's he saying here?
I don't know.
Is this like a code, Stu? Government-defined and legalized companies. Was it a code?
Maybe he talk texted. I don't know what he's saying.
Maybe
government defined.
Maybe he butt texted, right?
Yeah, it could have been that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. But if somebody's nominated Donald Trump for a Peace Prize, well, I loved his statement when it's first started talking about it, when he said, "Peace is prize enough."
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a classy guy. Yeah, I'll tell you, I don't care what people say. The man has got a lot of class. Some people say it's all low. But whatever, he's got a lot of it, that's for sure.
Well, he's got the chutzpah. He's got that thing going on, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but see, I was in the store yesterday, the HEB, right?
Right.
And I saw right there on the rack in front of me,
mm-hmm.
People Magazine.
Oh.
What is Melania hiding?
Are you kidding me?
No, I mean, that's in the front story. Can you believe these people?
No, I can't.
What is Melania hiding?
Here's a first lady.
What?
She's not stuck her nose into anything.
I know.
She's not telling you how to raise your kids or what to eat. She says one thing: be excellent. What's wrong with that? Be excellent.
What is she hiding?
What is she hiding?
Yeah. Man. Mm. Just because you have a keyboard doesn't mean you have brains, you know?
Yeah.
Bruce says, I hope you don't think that there is actually a difference between left and right proper.
No, of course not.
Gander. Yeah. Propaganda, he calls it.
Propaganda.
Propaganda. They both serve their purpose, depending on how the peeps need to be bent towards the proper end of the spectrum, or just the proper time.
Or to be divided and put against each other.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's always us against them. If the people ever united against the real enemy, oh goodness, there would be a hell to pay. So, yeah, I agree with you. That's the case. It's not a left or right thing. It's a green thing.
And don't you think it's fascinating how places like NPR and these other, I don't know what you'd call them, but they just won't quit hammering away at the difference between black and white people.
Mm.
I mean, and they're talking about they put themselves out there as they want to bring everybody together and we're all one kumbaya, but they do everything they can to keep reminding people that they think because your skin color is different, that you're different.
You're different.
And I don't think you're different at all.
No.
There's no difference to me. So you got darker skin. Okay, well, what else? What else you want to talk about?
Well, it's your culture that I'm more concerned with. And I don't care if your skin is the same color as mine. If you don't embrace my culture, I'm not going to want to associate with you. And I have a right, regardless of what other people believe, to discriminate. I can decide who I want to associate with and who I don't. My right to free assembly is guaranteed in the Constitution. So you can't force me to associate with people that do not share my culture. I get that multiculturalism is great, but at the end of the day, it's a personal choice. So I love the American culture and the American people, and that's who I want to associate with. Don't try to water me down into something else.
I can remember when we were kids, boy. We even alluded to the fact that people with black skin were different from us or were less than us. And, man, we got a talking to right there.
Yeah, you should have.
Yeah, you bet we did. And
yeah.
So, I mean, I never looked at people with different color skin as different at all.
No,
I just never did.
It's only when they set up a kettle in their backyard and start beating on drums and, then I'm, running around it and maybe they're going to boil somebody. I'm out. That's a different culture. It's a different culture from mine.
They start boiling somebody?
Yeah.
You talk about Wiccans and stuff like that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's not my culture.
Okay.
It's not my culture. I don't care what color you are. If you don't embrace my culture, you're free to do that. That's what you want to do. Just don't expect me to live next door and attend your whatever that is.
Your Wiccan thing.
Whatever it is.
Your Wiccan thing. LOL, writes Steve, Donald Trump hasn't tweeted about the Fed and the money supply because he does not want any to have to retitle his movie The Four Presidents to Five Presidents.
Oh, my God.
Donald likes he and his family to breathe. Oh,
that is the truth.
That's really
the
truth.
I really believe.
No. Yeah. Which we don't even like to talk about, right?
So I checked my Twitter feed. Did you? Are you on Twitter?
Yeah. Well, I get Donald's tweets.
Is that? I hope a president expletive blows it with Kim Jong Un. His failure in Singapore, along with an economic depression, is how we take America back.
What? Who's saying this?
Bill Maher.
Oh, you know, why are you reading these guys?
I don't know. Uh-huh. But, I mean, how could he think like that? It's just, yeah.
Just out this morning from the president. So funny to watch the fake news, especially NBC and CNN. They are fighting hard to downplay the deal with North Korea. 500 days ago, they would have begged for this deal. Looked like war would break out. Our country's biggest enemy is in the fake news so easily promulgated by the fools.
Well, that is the truth.
Oil prices are too high. OPEC is at it again. Not good.
I hate to speak for propaganda, but, you know, the idea that we are what we're told, that's the way people will react. And when they're constantly bombarded with this negative nonsense, then that's how they're going to think. So
people are criticizing the president for telling Mr. Kim that we're not going to do any more war games. And the president tweets this morning, "We save a fortune by not doing war games as long as we are negotiating good faith, both sides, you know, which both sides are." This guy just makes totally too much sense. I mean,
yes.
I mean, just really.
Stop right now.
Stop right now. You're just such a fool. You're a misogynist, racist. You just make too much sense.
And he kicks puppies.
Yeah. And how does one go about grading their coins? Do I need a sponsor?
Ah, great.
From
question.
Jack. What's a sponsor?
Well, NGC kind of puts a gate up. MPCGS
what do they
does
do that
too.
For?
Well, because if they just let anybody submit the penny they found and change, they couldn't have time to do the regular. So, what they want you to do is they have a network of authorized dealers. You go see your friendly local authorized dealer and ask him first, "Hey, is this coin worth sending in for grading?" Now, that's not asking him to buy it or to put a value on it. Is it worth me spending $40 to have this thing graded? A reputable dealer is going to tell you, "No, save your money. That coin is not going to grade correctly." So you can get it graded through them, but then there's an exception to the rule. If you're a member of the American Numismatic Association, which means you're somewhat of a numismatist, then you can submit directly to NGC. So they just don't want America wasting their money grading coins that shouldn't be graded. So I know they've caught a lot of heat for this, but you can have your coin graded. You just must submit it through an authorized dealer, or better still, join the ANA. We'd love to have you.
Very well said there. One more, two, and then we'll go. Protect your wealth by purchasing physical gold. Please define physical gold and which type.
Ah, okay.
He's a new listener here.
Oh, okay. Great new listener. All right. Okay. So physical gold means in your possession. Think of it as being on a cruise, on a ship, and instead of telling you where your life preserver is, they give you a life preserver certificate. Yeah, here's your certificate. You can cash it in anytime you need it. Well, the only time you're going to need your life preserver is if the ship is sinking. And then, if they don't have one for every certificate, there's going to be trouble.
Oh, so you want a preserver, not the certificate.
Yeah.
Okay, I got
that's
that.
It. That's a physical possession. And then what kind of gold? Well, studying history, we'll see that there have been times in the past where the federal government has made it illegal to own certain commodities. Gold and silver both are on that list. But lawful coins struck by the Treasury as money are exempt. That's the crux of it. What types of coins? Lawful money. And what physical possession is in your hands?
In your hands. I mean, it could be in your safe, right? That means in your hands, right?
That's probably where it should be.
Right, in your safe, yeah. Do you do safety deposit boxes?
Well, if you're a regular
person. I'm
sure
you get this question all the time.
I do.
Yeah. Are you okay with that?
I am.
Okay.
If you're a regular person.
What do you mean? We're all regular persons.
Not really. Some are more regular than others.
Like, what would make
maybe you're a bit irregular in that you're a doctor who prescribes CBD oil to your cancer patients.
Right.
Well, you can bet the Food and Drug Administration and maybe the, I don't know, everybody with a three-digit, right, is going to be swarming your house, maybe hauling you off to jail for doing things such as this.
You mean like the swarms of things in the Declaration of Independence?
Yeah, them.
What was that line?
Maybe send hither swarms of agents.
Agents to eat out our substance.
That's right. So maybe you have the temerity.
These guys knew what they were talking about. Yes. You know?
Maybe you have the temerity to sell raw milk.
Temerity? Excuse me.
That's a good one. Yeah.
I like it.
maybe you're one of those folks loves to poke the giant in the eye.
Don't do that.
If you do, you don't want to keep coins in your safety deposit box. Because with a flash of a badge, they'll convince the banker to let them in there. So if you're a regular person, of course, you have nothing to worry about. Most times, they're not going to ransack your safety deposit box. But again, the same thing applies here as does with fire insurance. You know, if they decide, which they could with a stroke of a pen, hey, all safety deposit boxes are frozen. They can only be opened in the presence of bank personnel. If there's bullion in there, gold, silver, bars, bricks, they're not allowed to be there, and then you must turn them over, and then the people fight to get them back. So as a general rule, we did for many years say, don't safety deposit box. But if your choice is safety deposit box or desk drawer,
put them in the
safety deposit box till you can buy a safe, for goodness sake. And it is the number one caveat with all the coin advice that I give. If you don't have a safe place, a secure place to store these things, do not buy them. Leave your money in the bank or wherever it is. Because if you lose your coin, it's a bearer investment. It belongs to whoever has it in their possession.
Like a bearer bond, remember
like
that?
Like a bearer bond.
I remember that, a bearer bond. Yeah. So if you hold it, it's yours.
You better take responsibility because it really is, whoever's in possession of that piece can turn it into money, and there's nothing you can do to stop them. Unlike a certificate registered asset that you need signatures and such to sell, coins can be sold pretty much on a whim. And to various people. So it's a two-edged sword. Financial privacy, great, wonderful, liquid. Yeah, they appreciate. Yeah, they're great. But if you don't have a secure place to store them, do not buy them. That's a dangerous element.
Eric says, the media pretends to be the fourth estate.
Huh.
The reality is they are the fifth column.
Yes, very good, Eric.
I don't know. What does he mean by that? He lost me there.
So the fourth estate refers to the three branches of government. And the fourth branch, to keep the others honest.
Oh.
That's their task, right? And in fact, there's a series out on HBO, I think it is, about the Fourth Estate is in fact the name of it.
Oh, is that right? Oh.
Yeah, and it talks about the New York Times and the age of Trump, and it's supposed to be a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the writer is describing them as a fifth column. Which is a group within a country at war who are sympathetic to or working with the enemy. Very good description, Eric. Not the fourth estate, the fourth branch of government that keeps the other three honest, but more like a fifth column, troops of the enemy within our country.
Big study, the Pew Research, one of our favorites.
Yes.
45%, check this out, 45% of teens say they're online almost constantly.
Daily. Or constantly, yeah.
I thought they go to school.
Still online.
They're still online.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's some real weird things going on. Spiritually, the brain gets a hit when people, when people get their email, right, and somebody emails, and it's like it's an addiction. It's just an addiction.
Well, judging from the way people look at those things and walk.
Yeah.
And, in New York City...
you can't even...
It's horrible. If you're driving, you expect to make eye contact with a pedestrian who may be crossing in front of your car. You have to be ever more vigilant now than you ever were in the past because not only do they not see you, but they don't hear you either. It's amazing. They're so immersed in their looking down at their phone, that they're liable to get run over, and in fact, a great many have.
Mm-hmm. Comment on last week's show, this from No Name, they themselves are makers of themselves. Oh, I titled the show The New York Fed Operating in Plain Sight Using Words of Art.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, this person said, they themselves are makers of themselves.
Mm.
Oh, kind of just another way to say it, I guess.
I suppose.
So Justice Department came out, and this is no surprise, saying that the mandate for Obamacare was unconstitutional.
Mm.
So it took them long enough for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because they said it can't be a tax, because it's only a tax if it raises revenue for Congress.
Mm.
Is that right?
I suppose it is.
Yeah. So yeah. And so this is probably big news. The Pope warns that oil to oil executives, climate change may destroy civilization.
Jeez.
So I wonder...
The Pope, huh?
I wonder... Hmm. That's that whole Vatican Catholic Church thing, Bank of England. We don't even want to go there now.
Yeah,
it's just too late in the day.
Too late in the game.
Too late in the day for that one.
Well, you know,
There's certainly a lot of history there, right?
Either the Pope can talk to me about religion... And LeBron James can talk to me about sports.
Yeah.
Other than that, and specifically basketball, mm-hmm. I have nothing to talk about with either one of them about anything else. So.
But you don't want to talk about Dennis Rodman about North Korea?
Well,
did
you know,
CNN covered that?
I find myself in an odd position.
That's a hilarious.
So, like a year ago, I thought Dennis Rodman, what a moron. And look at how many, you know, he's pierced his face seven ways from shut. And then the other one was Kanye West, the poet. I thought for sure both of these guys would never be on my plus side. But here I am, I'm torn because I admire them both. Rodman, of course, was one of the first to go see this Kim guy who loves basketball. Could you imagine Rodman getting the credit for what's happened? It would just be irony at its finest, but it just goes to show you the greatest Americans will come from the unlikeliest places, and here I find myself filled with admiration for both Dennis Rodman and Kanye West. So, hey, what are you going to do?
Point.
Somebody who uses their celebrity for a positive thing is a positive thing for me. If you're going to use your celebrity to bash someone else, what a terrible job they're doing, look inside your own house. That's what I advise.
Well, the next time you think because you have the interweb invented by Al Gore that a week before he did global warming, you may be not getting this whole story. This is just out. Skunk Bay Weather, which is a local weather website, they have cameras, right, enabled out there on the peninsulas there up in the northwest, mm-hmm. On Sunday morning, and so they got this picture, and you can see it, where this camera monitoring the Puget Sound at Whidbey Island, and they got this huge rocket that's just going up in the air, a large missile launch of Whidbey Island that nobody knows what it is.
Hmm.
Wow. Hmm. I feel strongly it was a missile launch, you think? Look at this picture. It's certainly a missile launch, or a UFO that's going straight up.
Something.
Wow, man.
Not natural.
Not natural. Yeah. Who could be shooting off a missile? Don't you have to have some kind of permit or something like that?
A missile permit. Where do you apply for one of those?
I don't know.
I think the permit makers, though, can give their own permit to themselves.
Mm. Okay, this...
Oh, there it is. That's that they themselves are makers of themselves.
Yeah.
So if you're the guy issuing the permits, of course, you can issue your own, certainly.
Michael Cohen no longer has legal representation. Is he the president's lawyer?
No, he was the president's fixer.
Oh, he's a president fixer.
Yeah.
He's going to cooperate with federal prosecutors in New York. That would mean Cohen flipped on Trump, which would be the most devastating blow to him yet.
Know.
I mean,
who's that, CNN?
Is it against the law to fix stuff for somebody?
No, that's his job.
That's his job.
So I'm sure everything he has to tell him is all about, well, the indiscretions of the president. And if they want to find crime in there, I suppose they could.
I see. Well, I mean, if I was the fixer and they were going to throw me in jail, I'd probably just tell them what they wanted to know, too.
Yeah,
you?
I would. I mean,
why would you want to go to jail?
If you're going to tell them something, I don't know. That's a fine line. But I know this, that President Kennedy was well known for his indiscretions.
Did he have fixers, too?
Yeah, he had fixers. But I know all about him, and I still admire the man. Mm-hmm. So I think the same is true with Donald Trump. I think... once the American public really gets a handle on all the dirt, they won't, I don't think they'll hold it against them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we've just probably...
Those holier-than-thou people certainly think, you know, oh, if American people find out that he did this or he did that, they're going to just leave him in droves. Hmm. Well, I really didn't hire him to be a, you know, I knew he wasn't a choir boy. I really did.
So in hindsight, do you think it was like good thing, bad thing, and different thing of the media not blowing the whistle on President Kennedy, maybe Marilyn Monroe and all this other stuff that he did? That everybody kind of knew about.
Right? Well, the media knew about
it. The media knew about it.
But
so you
since
think,
they loved
you think
him.
Think that was a good idea not to talk about
well,
that?
Well, it sure...
Yeah, I guess.
It sure...
I guess
proves,
it's nobody's business except his wife and
that's
him, right? And
God. It disproves the Fourth Estate theory, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, that they can go along just to get along. Well, right or wrong, It certainly is his business and no one else's. So it wasn't the country's business that he may have been involved with Marilyn Monroe, and so was Bobby. Well, maybe. But did they find out? Not from this Fourth Estate media. That's for sure.
No, they wouldn't have dared.
The same that with President Roosevelt and his affliction, right? He had polio.
Nobody knew about it, right?
No, he kept it a secret.
Isn't that amazing?
They kept his secret. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, many thought, as they should, that how does this affect him being president? And in the case of Donald Trump, I think it'll be better. Once all the dirt is out in the open, let Michael Cohen tell him everything he's got. And get it out in the open and be done with it.
Yeah. Well, kiddo, I had a good time this morning. Thanks for being here. What you going to do today? What fun?
Work.
What's going on in Jersey?
Work.
Working?
Work.
Working?
Working for a living. Work. I'm working.
Well, you know, you could just take a weekly stipend from Facebook or something,
sure.
And you wouldn't have to work.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, what's up with that, that work thing?
No, yeah. Got to do that.
I think you should just do a stipend.
No stipend. Yeah. Couldn't live on it.
Just do a stipend.
No, stipend,
just
no good.
Just do a stipend.
Yeah, I have much work
do
to do.
Do you do 401ks and stuff like that?
For my employees, yes,
I do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should. You know, you should think that at some point you're not going to be able to work anymore, so you need to put something away for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to help them do that, yes.
Or you just do as I do. You don't put anything away, and then you know you have to keep working until you go underground, right?
For me, I just, when I run out of room in the safe, I'll get another safe.
That's right. Just keep stocking them away.
Yeah. I have three now.
No kidding.
I still have the original one, and then I added two more.
Yeah. Well, Doodle and I thought we'd drive up and see you guys sometime. I don't know.
Anytime.
I'm just feeling like a road trip.
You can even send Doodle if you want.
I want to see you guys. Okay.
Yeah.
So what's up? Your number is 800-468-2646.
That's right.
800-468-2646.
That's right.
And people can check you out on Facebook.
Sure. And right? Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Give you a hard time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you can
I don't turn the comments off.
And you can also comment on this show page.
Sure.
And we read them just like
tell
we
me what
today.
You think. Yeah.
So hold on one second because I have a question for you
after.
So thanks for being here, brother.
Yeah.
See you real soon.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. I just quick little email. I want to give a little plug to Living Streams. This is great. This gal says, she goes, I just thought it was really great that what Wayne Blakely said about that the only reason bugs like Candida attack us is because it thinks we are dying and we need to be decomposed. I thought that was the exact same thing a few days ago before it. Keep up the great work, and I love these products. I've only been on for about a week from Living Streams. We're pretty psyched about these. Check out our products, Living Streams and other products, whether it be Daniel Vitalis, Brandon Amalani, the rebounder, the sauna, the sulfur, the aloe. We got some really good stuff in these new probiotics. And we also have a really cool new calcium that's made out of ground up pearl. That's it. Check that show off yesterday. So we think we got some of the best stuff ever. So if you're going to invest in your health, as Andrew Goss recommends, go ahead and invest in your health. And please consider the people that we come up with, because these are like angels are dropped into our lap, and know the sources are trademarked. So we think we got some of the best in the world. So thank you for that. We got some good shows tomorrow. We're going to do it, and it's going to be on at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.